The Warriors wrapping up their season-opening road trip in Detroit, facing the Pistons and getting a game-high 31-point night from Stephen Curry.
Curry, transition three. That is his game. You don't want to let him shoot that.
Andrew Wiggins delivering 27 points to go with 7 rebounds.
Andrew Wiggins, scattered floor, down the lane. And Wiggins, the Jayhawk with the tomahawk.
Kelly Oubre Jr. adding 14 points to the mix.
Oubre attacking. With a lefty hammer.
As the Warriors bring home a 2-game win streak after a 116-106 win in Detroit.
As the Warriors win it, and they'll come home from the road trip 2-2. And after shooting 40% in Chicago, they shoot 50% tonight. Go 2-2 as Curry goes with 31. And for the Dubs, going to be a nice plane flight home and a very, very long home stint.
Warriors had their 108-96 lead with 2:42 to go in the game. Pistons made one last push, cut to 5. But then Damian Lee and Curry score 7 straight to ice the game. Curry, of course, finishing 8 of 8 from the line, 72 straight now, an ongoing Warriors record. But the fourth quarter was Andrew Wiggins, 5 of 8, 3 of 4 from 3, hit all 4 free throws, 2 rebounds, a block shot, 17 points, and the Warriors go on to win, outscoring the Pistons 39-30 in that fourth quarter, shooting 66.7%, 12 of 18 from the floor. Jim, you know, the numbers are what the numbers are, but to me, it was Andrew Wiggins and his will that helped the Warriors win this game.
Absolutely. When it really got down to crunch time and when they had to do it, it was a close game all the way. What, 1-point game at the end of the third quarter, the Warriors up by 1. The Warriors' defense, for the most part, until the last quarter, and got a little loose there, but they held the Pistons in check. They really made it a tough night for them, but they didn't block them off the boards, and it was the second-chance points, offensive rebounds, that really hurt them. In the first quarter and the first half, it was 16 points off of second-chance points for the Pistons to 3 for the Warriors, and that's one reason they were behind. But their defense was good in the third quarter. But then it became the Andrew Wiggins show, and I'm excited about that. We've been waiting for that. And believe me, not to take anything away from him, you're going to see that from Kelly Oubre Jr. coming along as well. And when you have Stephen Curry and Oubre Jr. and Wiggins, and they're hitting on all cylinders offensively, this team is still going to be tough to beat. They did a lot of really good things tonight. But the fourth quarter, you know, Curry only played like the last 3 minutes of the quarter. He got 5 of the Warriors' 31 points. Wiggins had 17. So those two combined for 22. But it was Wiggins. Wiggins stretched that lead out to 13. It got a little precarious with just under about, I think it was about a minute and 40 to go. That lead was cut down to only 5. Only 5 points, and everybody got a little nervous. But then they started fouling Curry, and he went to the free throw line.
So what did you see tonight from the Warriors that you liked?
I just liked that all of a sudden Wiggins created some open shots. He made a nice drive to the basket in the fourth quarter, which was big, and he started shooting the ball better from three-point range. He was terrific in that fourth quarter. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 3 of 4 from 3 in the fourth quarter, and he made all 4 free throws. He hadn't even shot a free throw the first 3 quarters. He came to life in the fourth quarter. It was him in the fourth quarter. Before that, prior, he just looked like a normal basketball player out there.
And for Kelly Oubre Jr., how much of a relief do you think this will be? He played well.
Yep.
He hit a 3. He played good defense. I mean, he had a very good game, you know, start to finish. 14 points doesn't sound like a great game, but to me, it's the other things he does. Again, second game in a row, hitting the glass, and he's going to have to do that more with the injuries they have up front. But I think he'll be helped. I think this whole team will be helped when Draymond Green hits the hardwood.
Without question.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre tonight, he let the game come to him. At least the offensive game. He didn't push. He didn't press himself. You know, when you're not shooting well, and we know we've chronicled it already, coming into the game 7 of 40, 0 for 17 from 3, you're not shooting. You start thinking about it. So he passed up some opportunities to shoot the ball. He played defense, and he hustled, and he let the game come to him a little bit. He didn't worry about his scoring. Got a couple of steals in the 27 minutes that he played, and he got feisty, and that's what he can do. He can disrupt the game at the defensive end. He does that very well.
Jeremy Grant had 27 for Detroit, but he was on 9 of 21 shooting. Derrick Rose took 18 shots, made 6. He had 15. And Josh Jackson, 6 of 14, with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. You know what? I really liked his plus-minus wasn't very good. Minus 16 tonight. But his minutes were a little erratic. But I really liked what I saw with Josh Jackson. I think he's starting to mature a little bit into a pretty good NBA player. All right, well, let's move on to Mason Plumlee. Did well, I thought, at times for in terms of their floor spacing for Detroit. But I think they're a team that is going to look a lot different when we see them at the end of January. And what I mean by that is I think at that point, I think you have seen Dwayne Casey settle on a rotation. I think at the deadline, they'll probably have some people looking to maybe go after a Derrick Rose or guys like Wayne Ellington and Rodney Magruder who didn't get in the game today. So I think they'll be a little bit different when we see them at the end of January.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. A lot of these teams are going to be changing. It's a tough league. You take no prisoners here. Coming into today, Detroit 0-3, Warriors 1-2. But, you know, Toronto coming into today was 0-2. Chicago 0-3. Houston in the West was 0-2. Denver 1-2. Even the Lakers were 2-2. And all of a sudden, Cleveland comes in today 3-0. Indiana's 3-0. Orlando's 3-0. We don't know yet what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot of lopsided scores early on, just because of what's happening. It's a weird time. No fans. Players coming in and out of the lineup, whether it be because of illness or of injury. Miami loses huge today to Milwaukee. I'm going to give the scores here in a few moments. And so, you know, the blowouts have been around, I think, you know, more than you would see. I mean, and so I think it's going to be interesting to keep track of which teams are handling this well and which are not. And so it's going to be – everybody's kind of feeling it out at the same time. Very few teams in this league have brought back their real core – and have something to build upon. One of those is the team we're going to see on January 1, and that's the Portland Trailblazers. And, Jim, I think, you know, Damian Lillard spoke to their management in the offseason, and what he said was, hey, let's try to get a team that can win a title here. Let's get a team that's deep and going to win a title. He was in discussions with them about that. And I think that shows that Damian Lillard doesn't want to be the second-rounded-out team. He wants to be a team that's going to be fighting for a title, and they have enough talent to make a run.
Didn't they have a pretty good showing in the bubble, by the way?
Had a good showing in the bubble. They won last night in L.A. They beat the Lakers. I think they're going to be a team that teams are going to have to figure out and handle.
Lillard's gotten better, and his range from three-point range has gotten better, as well as his percentage going up. And they have two dynamic guards in C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. Didn't McCollum already have a 44-point game about a week ago?
Yeah, and you know, he's just so clever with the ball. You know, if you want to show a young man that you don't have to have, you know, tremendous hops or whatever, I'm not saying he's not athletic.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he's so clever with the ball and knows how to get defenders off balance. He knows angles. He just really is intelligent about the way he goes the game. But the guy that I love that they got in the offseason to their roster was Covington.
Yes, Robert Covington is a terrific pickup because he plays defense and he can score for you. He's another scorer, and he's a big size guard. They needed somebody that can defend against shooting guards in this league. So there's someone that was bigger.
The other guy that to watch out for, and he's off to a great start, and he is really maturing. He's nowhere near the type of player his dad was, but Gary Trent Jr. can really shoot the ball. And he's really coming into his own this year. He's a player to keep an eye on.
He's not as muscular as his dad and feisty inside, I don't think. But
no one wanted to mess with his dad.
And they've got Nurkic, a guy named Nurkic, right?
Yep. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He knows how to play basketball from the center position. And
right.
He's a good passer, and he can score. Very, very high IQ, basketball IQ for him.
They came over. They made the trade with Denver for Plumlee, actually. Mason Plumlee was in that deal.
Yes.
Because Denver decided, correctly so, that they were going to cast their fate with Nikola Jokic. And nothing against Nurkic. Nurkic, I think, is good.
Yes.
And he's coming back. He's making a great comeback after injury. But, boy, an embarrassment of riches for Denver at that point when they made that deal with Portland.
Yeah, well, he's a step down from Jokic. There's no question about that. But this team, the team leader is Damian Lillard. And he is one tough son of a gun. And you leave him alone, and he can burn you. He's just a competitor. I don't think there's a more competitive person in the entire NBA than Damian Lillard, particularly at the offensive end.
Yeah, you talk about a guy with a great will. You know, you look for an East Bay point guard, those guys have great wills. Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, Damian Lillard.
good names.
Yeah, good names. Absolutely.
And the Warriors play them twice, I believe, on the first and the third.
Yeah, it's going to be like a series.
Those are home games.
Home games.
And I'm going to work with you. I think right now there's only two that I know of home games all year because Tolbert's not going to be here.
Tom Tolbert's still out on assignment. And so we'll get the whole rundown on Tom and how his assignment went with the family. And you'll be here. And actually, it'll be good because obviously you have ties to the Portland franchise.
I was an original Blazer.
Original Blazer.
That was fun.
Original points and the Rip City. Rip City. You have all that to have in your Portland treasure chest.
I'd kind of forgotten about that until you just brought it up. And thank you.
You didn't forget it.
Yes, I did.
Don't give me that.
But I really.
And why is your license plate? No, I'm just kidding.
And by the way, I'm glad you took a little money under the table to let Tolbert go on vacation. So I could do the games with you.
It's time.
It's fortuitous.
Yes. Well, tonight the Warriors scored 116 points. Nice job, Jim. We'll see you here on, when is it going to be? It's going to be Friday.
January 1st.
January 1st on Friday.
And New Year's Day, the Warriors host the Trail Blazers in the first of back-to-back games against Portland at Chase Center. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is the Verizon Game Rewind.